I'm Alexander Hefner, your host on The Open Mind. I'm delighted to welcome to the podcast today, Blake Blossom. She is one of the most renowned and highly ranked adult actresses in the industry, according to Pornhub 59, but that number just keeps going lower and lower. So presumably, you know, you'll be at one soon enough. Blake, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
And I'm wondering what your attitude is toward Pornhub, which has been compared to kind of the mega conglomerate of the porn industry. But speaking on the ground level, in understanding now that Pornhub is being challenged and the victim of a lot of attacks that are not completely substantiated, what's your sense of kind of the climate around Pornhub?
So I know on December 4th, I believe, the New York Times came out with, I guess you would call it an expose. I don't know who wrote it, but this article came out saying that, you know, Pornhub was still posting child pornography and, you know, a bunch of, you know, a lot of people don't usually give consent, you know, like ex-boyfriends or whatever will post videos and, you know, somehow that video will go back to the girl and, you know, and then the whole thing happens because, you know, obviously a lot of people, you know, normal people who don't, you know, do what I do, they don't want, you know, sex tapes out and whatever. So there was this huge discussion for years and years about, you know, Pornhub posts stuff from unverified users and, you know, all types of videos that, you know, aren't really appropriate. You know, like child pornography. So that article came out and it was kind of like a domino effect. And I have no idea how they did it, but overnight, me personally, I lost like 42 million views on my Pornhub channel, because they decided to delete all unverified users and uploads to those accounts. So basically what happened was, you know, that's 43 million views. Cause I was really excited on hitting 100 million views on Pornhub. That's a, you know, great accomplishment since I'm so new. And I looked again a couple days later and it said 61. And I said, what is going on here? And for whatever reason, they, you know, just felt that it was time to just delete all unverified users. And the way you get verified on Pornhub is you'd send in a picture of your ID holding up pornhub.com/ your username. So it's not that difficult to get verified, but a lot of times on these unverified accounts, they post pirated content. So that can be from people's Pornhub premiums. OnlyFans is hugely ripped off. So they just decided to wipe it all out. And then Visa and MasterCard decided to not be part of Pornhub and be a payment processor for them, which is a huge, huge damper because a lot of people who do pay for porn, which is, you know, a select category of people, a lot of people watch it for free. But those people who do pay for it and do support us in the industry, you know, they can't use their Visa or MasterCard anymore, but recently it's still on there. I've been checking every day and it's still as an option. So I really don't know what's going to happen next, but I'm, you know, a little frustrated because we do get paid on views and, there's these things called DMCAs. They're for like copyright infringement where you can, find the link to that copyrighted video. Like say, for example, my Halloween videos, were stolen from my OnlyFans and posted. Some of those videos had millions of views. So what I can do is I can go and email the email they provide for DMCAs and say, hey, this is my video. I need the, like, I just want it taken down or I want credit for it. And what Pornhub was doing is they were saying, okay, great. Well, since this video accumulated all of these views, we're still going to pay you for those views, even though someone pirated my content. So there's been a couple times when, you know, I've put in some DMCAs on some really big videos and I've gotten a couple grand, you know, back from those views. So I was most frustrated that they, deleted 43 million of my views that, you know, I should have been paid on, but there's not really much we can do about it now.
They should be able to delete those malicious accounts.
You would think so.
without removing your views.
Well, that's the problem, is because when someone uploads that specific video, even though it's mine, it could have my watermark in it. It could have, you know, professional production companies tags in it. And I don't know who approves videos on being uploaded, but it takes me, depending on how big the file is, less than 10 minutes to upload a video to Pornhub and fill out all the information, you know, like tags and put my name in there, title, yada, yada. So I really don't, I know a lot of my friends are really upset because a lot of their views were from their like pro stuff being pirated. And there's obviously nothing we can do about the pro stuff just because we don't own any of that content once we like sign the paperwork and everything. But I mean, when you're ranking, I don't know. I mean, I care about my ranking a lot. I find that when you say, hey, I'm Blake Blossom, look me up. Where are they going to look you up? They're going to look you up on Pornhub. And there's a lot of companies, I'm not going to name any, but there's a lot of companies who only book girls who are top 100, top 200, you know, and they base a lot of your work off your profile and your ranking. So I was most worried that my ranking is going to drop because I lost all these views, but I don't know how their algorithms work.
You've been in the adult industry for about a year, right?
Not even. I started March 26th was my first scene for Exploited College Girls. And we're here now. I used to keep track of like, oh, I'm at 100 days in the industry, but I lost count.
What do you think is the difference between the approach you bring, given that you've only been involved for the last year and have the freshness of that experience, but also the attitude of someone from Gen Z, when you are in conversation with people who are veterans of the industry, whether it's 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, do you think that your worldview about it aligns, or do you think that there are differences in how you see it?
Oh, we're all different. I feel like, you know, they like to put us in categories almost, or typecast us. And, you know, there's some people who love doing, you know, certain categories. There's some people who absolutely love BDSM. There's some people who, you know, do great in the anal category, or, you know, there's so many categories now. But I don't know. I'm pretty picky on the stuff I do. And I feel like I'm not one of the more conservative people of the industry, but I don't do a lot of the things that everyone else does. Like, I don't do any stepbro, stepdad. I don't do any family-related stuff anymore. And, you know, that's a huge, huge, huge part of our industry, is this taboo, you know, step-family thing. And I just, you know, I didn't feel comfortable with doing it anymore. So I removed that entire category from, you know, what I would be hired for. And unfortunately, a lot of people in our industry, 90% of their work is them playing a stepdad, or them playing the stepmom or stepmilf, or, you know, stepbro and sis. It's so popular. You look up on the front page of Pornhub, primarily family related stuff. So I know a lot of people like doing that. And a lot of the like veterans, you know, they've been doing this for years and years. And I feel like a lot of us get desensitized to certain things. And but my attitude, like, towards everything I do, I always want to make sure that, you know, I don't want to be controversial. I don't do anything with religion. I don't do a lot of stuff. So I feel like I limit myself on those things, but, you know, there's so much time when I can go ahead and maybe I change my mind. Maybe I want to start doing that stuff in 2 years, who knows? But I find that my attitude towards everything I do is just always trying to put the best content out there, the best quality. I try to be myself. I know, like, sometimes people play characters, but I find that for my Blake profile or character, I guess you would say, that I just take the best parts of my personality and myself, and I really like to showcase that. And that's why I think I've had so much success so far, is because people see my, you know, genuine personality, and that I really love what I do, and nothing looks forced or, you know, creepy or like I don't want to be there. So I just always try to have a positive attitude. I have so much control over everything I do. And that's a big misconception about, you know, us being in the industry. People think we're, oh, they're forced to do this, or, oh, she looks like she's in pain. And, you know, that's not really the case. We have full control over everything we do as soon as we walk in, beforehand, after the fact. So I just try to keep a positive attitude and, you know, try and think ahead and be like, you know, would I not be comfortable with this video being out of me, you know, doing some crazy thing? Would I be comfortable with having this out for the rest of my life and this being on the internet?
Well said. With respect to porn as something that's stigmatized, do you think that it's getting better or worse? Despite what's happening with Pornhub right now, is your impression that the work that you do and the way that you engage on Twitter, when you share your work, is the motivation to normalize or destigmatize it in some way?
I would guess the answer would be yeah. I personally have been a big fan of porn for a long time. And even though I grew up in like a really religious area and, you know, those types of topics aren't, you know, openly discussed, I don't know. I guess porn is just always going to be porn. There's always those crusaders who are going to say, you know, porn is addictive and it causes all these issues and family relationship issues and marriage issues. But at the end of the day, you know, we're just trying to put out, you know, great content. We're selling a product. And I feel like there's nothing that we can really do regarding other people's like opinions and feelings about that. I think it's becoming more normalized as part of our society. And I think that really got a boost from, you know, specifically OnlyFans, because now all of a sudden you don't have to put on videos on Pornhub. You don't have to, you know, be a porn actress. Now you can just be, you know, Junie B. Jones on OnlyFans, and you don't even have to put your face, and it's like your own little separate platform. So a lot of, I know I started on OnlyFans before I even did porn. That was kind of like my introduction to get comfortable with being on camera, you know, doing the things we do. It's really nerve-wracking sometimes, but I don't think it's ever going to change. Maybe we'll feel, you know, more normal about it, that like, oh, we do talk about sex and we do talk about, you know, all these things, but I really, really doubt that porn is going to be like, you know, openly talked about in every single family.
Do you think that a majority of your colleagues in pursuing porn are in some ways rebelling against a more conservative culture with which they grew up?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, anyone who's been oppressed in any manner, you know, they have that feeling of, oh, I want to, you know, I haven't been able to do this for so long, but now I can. But I mean, there's a lot of different, you know, people in the industry, all sizes, all colors, all different backgrounds, demographics. So I feel like it definitely depends person to person on like what their goal is. But I know at the end of the day, all of us, you know, we just want to have fun and we want to put out these videos, and you know, it's what we really love to do. I mean, sex is a fundamental part of being a human. And if you can, you know, you get to dress up as Princess Peach or whatever and do a video, like, how fun is that?
I mean, the reason that I said normal and that it, to me, porn is normal, is because it is really just the enactment of what we all do in our lives. Now, you're getting paid for it. And you're employing your body as a talent, as an art. But that's what I say when I say the normalcy of sharing it, because you're really just sharing what people do. It happens to be in the privacy of most people's homes rather than in a public setting. But it is what everybody does in order to procreate or recreate.
Exactly. And that's why it's, you know, a lot of people get really upset because there is so much porn on the internet that, you know, a lot of, you know, people think, you know, oh, if my kids watch porn from a young age, they're going to have, you know, an unrealistic view of sex. And sometimes, you know, that does apply. You're not really going to get stuck in a washing machine and have some guy, you know, like come behind you, you know, like that's not really realistic, but that's the fun part of doing it. You get to explore all these crazy fantasies and different categories, and you just kind of figure it out as you go. You get to see what you like, what you don't like.
It sounds like, Blake, you are sensitive both to the argument for and against, and that you have respect for, when I say for and against, you have respect for people who believe that sex work should be legal, but you understand maybe the position of folks who are opposed to it, at least theoretically, if not in practice, for maybe the breadth of potential, your potential audience.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is because I really don't know who my audience is. I really don't know who is watching my stuff. You know, I can interact with my fans, and, you know, people comment like, oh, I'm from Australia sending love. And I'm like, oh my God, there's people across the world watching me. This is crazy. What? So that's in everything. You know, some people are, you know, for the keto diet. Some people are totally against the keto diet, you know, just weird things. But I do feel like I like being impartial on a lot of things, just because I do like to be educated on both sides. I know that, you know, especially in, like, to focus on marriages, like some people, you know, in their marriage say that their husband is a porn addict and it's ruining their marriage. But, you know, sometimes maybe porn could save a marriage. Maybe, you know, so-and-so needs to go and, you know, hang out by themselves for a half an hour, and they come back, you know, a happier person.
Come back refreshed, rejuvenated.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really interesting to read, you know, articles and blogs. I read everything. Like, I read all my DMs, I read all my comments, and I really like being informed, because why not? Like, learning is so fun, especially if it's my career and my job. Why wouldn't I want to learn about the people who, you know, not hate me for what I do, but, you know, look down upon me, or, you know, that type of thing. So I find that I don't need to convince anyone that, you know, oh, porn's great. Like, if you think that porn is damaging in any way, that's your personal opinion. And, you know, I think it's a great, you know, thing that a lot of people use every single day. So
we all know that consumers of porn include those people who would purport to be opposed to it.
Yep. Yep. It's hilarious sometimes that the DMs that I get about, you know, super, it's, I don't even know. I guess my, like I said, I don't know who watches my videos, but it's pretty obvious that the most, at least in talking globally, a lot of the areas where porn is illegal, or, you know, having porn magazines, or, you know, anything that has to do with, you know, out of marriage relations or anything like that, it's amazing that a lot of people who do talk to me, they come from regions in the world where I know that it is, you know, extremely illegal there. And it just kind of, you know, makes me laugh a little bit, I guess, that, you know, these people who, you know, go online and they say, oh yeah, porn is so bad, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's ruining all of these things. It's not, you know, all the negative things that you can bring up in a situation. And then they're the ones watching it. They are the ones that are buying my porn. They're the ones that are spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars on custom videos, video chats. It's so funny. I guess funny is the only word that I can think to use to describe that.
The commonplace hypocrisy.
Hypocritical. That's exactly what the word is. It's, you're going to go and say porn is so bad, all of these women and all of these men and everyone else in the industry, you know, they're all horrible people, blah, blah, blah. And then what are they doing? They're going, searching up our names on Pornhub or watching our, you know, OnlyFans, that type of stuff. So
what do you think is the most compelling argument supporting the idea of monetizing your body or selling your body, that it is your right to profit on not just your physique, but your athleticism and your talent in sexual endeavors? What do you think is the best argument to support that? That if you want to say selling your body, or maybe you'd put it more eloquently, that that is and ought to be a human right?
Yeah, there's a lot of different realms like in our industry. You know, I mainly stick to doing, you know, my own videos, my own production things. And I really only film for, you know, professional companies, but there's, you know, there's cam girls, there's, you know, a lot of people who escort or do sugar daddies and that type of thing. So I find that even though we're all doing our own thing at the end of the day, it's not really anyone else's, you know, we don't really care about what anyone else thinks of what we're doing. If I want to go out and I want to make a video or I want to go do this, why shouldn't I be able to? If you want to go to the store and buy, you know, whatever, why would I say that you can't go do that? So I definitely feel that it comes down to just let people do whatever they want. There's not really any way that some stranger is going to message me and say, oh, and surprisingly, I've been getting so many messages recently. Oh, you're too pretty for porn. I don't, you're too smart to be doing this. Why are you doing this? And it kind of just, you know, you know, once again, makes me laugh, because I'm like, you guys want to, you know, if you wanted to go and follow this path, if you wanted to become a doctor, if you want to be a medium, if you want to be on TV, if you want to be a rapper, a singer, whatever, and you can go and do that, why would you then come back to me and say everything that I'm doing is horrible and that it's detrimental to my health and, you know, my self-esteem and my self-confidence?
I think it's enviable myself, especially in the current climate of the pandemic. I have to ask you this, and I've been eager to hear your answer. What do you think would happen if folks woke up tomorrow in America and could not access porn? All the porn had been deleted.
That would feel like we're living in North Korea. That's extreme censorship. We know our rights. There's literally the First Amendment, whatever you want to say. That's a really important part of our like American culture is, you know, I have the right to say whatever I want. And you also have the right to say whatever you want. And I don't even know what would happen. Well, I would be out of a job for sure. I don't even know how that would happen.
I'm not hypothesizing that it will not happen. I promise you.
I would be upset for sure. I would be upset. I know every single person in the United States would see that article or that whatever on the news and absolutely lose their mind.
I think that you said it, lose their mind.
For sure.
The point of the question was just to emphasize that it is part of routine, and that means normalcy. And
I think removing porn completely from the internet would be worse than removing all sports, honestly.
Yeah.
Like if you woke up, every sport was gone. You can't watch UFC. You can't watch no Olympics, nothing. You can't watch football on Sundays. There's no basketball. There's no March Madness. That would be an absolute uproar. So if you can imagine those sports fans, but then you're like, oh, wait. Think of how many people watch porn, millions and millions and hundreds of millions of people around the world. That would be, that would cause some riots, maybe. I don't know.
Riots. Yeah. I think households would be in riot and in a state of disrepair, just knowing the extent to which it is both an entertainment form and a kind of psychological release. Mm-hmm. That I would imagine there would, you said there'd be riots. There would be definitely psychological effect.
I doubt it would last that long either. I say say we woke up tomorrow, all the porn was, all the websites were shut down, everything, you know, that we can access electronically was gone, you know, maybe we'd switch back to magazines. Maybe Playboy magazines would shoot up to $2,000 a pop. Who knows? Because now you can't see it online. So now you're going to have to go back to how it was before the internet. So I'd be curious to see some type of simulation of what would happen.
That would be fascinating. You know, but like you said, simulation, not reality.
That would be so, wow. Yeah. That would be a trip.
Do you differentiate between the kind of modalities or kinds of sex work? And do you even accept that as the term for adult filmmaking, or do you identify that term with outside of the entertainment realm?
Not really. I mean, I know that there's a lot of, you know, everyone in the industry says they're a sex worker. Me personally, I don't ever say that I'm a sex worker. I don't ever say like, oh, I'm in sex work. I find that that's such a weird term to use. I think there's much better choices. Like I can say, I am an actress who performs in adult films. That to me has a more like concise point. It makes more sense. It's more focused on what I actually do than saying, oh, sex work, like as an overall term. Me personally, I don't really like the word. Or if it's two words hyphenated, who knows? I don't know. I don't find that term is really helpful to any of us. I find that it doesn't have like a really negative, you know, connotation to that. But when you hear the word, oh, she's a sex worker, what do you think? You think of, you know, prostitutes on the street, you think of Law and Order, that type of stuff. And that's not what we do. We are pretty, you know, professional in every aspect, whether it's, you know, you're on cam talking to your fans, or if I'm shooting for Brazzers.
That's very insightful. There are those who would propose that using that term in a sense professionalizes the work across all the realms, whether it's OnlyFans on cam, whether it's in adult videos or films, mm-hmm. or if it's in those places, even if there are few of them right now, where prostitution is legal in this country. So I understand the intention behind using that term. And politicians, especially liberal politicians who have endorsed decriminalizing prostitution, mm-hmm. are beginning to use that term more uniformly. So if there's a better way to think about it, what is it?
I think it would depend on who you're talking about. If you're talking about, you know, someone who is, you know, who does what I do and mainly does professional stuff, I personally would like to be referred to as an actress or a professional porn star. I don't know. I would rather be called a porn star all day than a sex worker.
In the OnlyFriends scenario, right, the virtual interaction with the client in...
I don't even use the term client. I treat people like my friends. Like, to me, a client is if I'm, you know, sitting down at a desk and someone hired me to, you know, do their divorce, then they would be my client, right? So I never use that term. I rarely use the term fan. I find that, you know, makes people feel... You know, I would rather just call my friends and be like, hey, my supporters, like, thank you so much.
Supporters or benefactors seems to be an equally appropriate idea. My point is just that what occurs virtually when certain sexual acts are performed at the request of benefactors or friends or clients, whatever your language will be, mm-hmm. is that even though it's occurring in the virtual landscape, it's not very much different from a request that might be made in person in the mode of prostitution. I mean, the kind of relationship of paying for a service is still applicable, is it not?
That's where the gray area comes in, is because do I really provide a service, or am I just posting videos? Do we call YouTubers, you know, are we considering them that they're providing a service? Not really. So I would say that providing a service to me personally means, like, if I'm going to go get my hair done, that's providing a service to someone. So I find that if you're doing, like, in person, you know, escorting or, you know, whatever you want to do with someone in person, I would feel that would more apply to that. I don't know. There's so many different, you know, gray areas and scenarios that, oh, this does apply to this scenario, but, you know, if you change this one tiny aspect, now it doesn't apply at all.
Blake Blossom, porn star. Thank you so much for joining me today. You are truly insightful, and I thank you for illuminating the industry and your perspective.
Well, thank you so much. Your questions are much different than the interviews I usually do, where it's, you know, weird questions about what's your favorite sex position, you know.
I hope so, that's refreshing.
I really appreciate the, like, in-depth questions and, you know, wanting to learn about my personal thoughts rather than just talking about my professional work.
Absolutely. Thank you, Blake.
Awesome. Thank you so much.